Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
As we go through trials, we need to endure and learn from our trials. Learn something in every trial that you go through.
That was Pastor Joe Henson, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our guest speaker today on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We continue our study of 1 Peter today with Pastor Joe as he focuses on God's purpose for my suffering from 1 Peter chapter 4.
Pastor's been teaching us out of 1 Peter, wonderful book, written by a fisherman. As we get into the Word, let's think about just for a few moments what it's like when life is easy. I don't know about you, but when life is easy, it's really kind of simple to get sidetracked with things, isn't it? But you know, suffering changes our values, and it helps us reset our goals. In fact, it helps us to see what is important in life, and so I think that's one of the reasons that God does send suffering to us. In chapter 4 and 5, we've come to the end of 1 Peter. We see the believer's grace in suffering. How is it that we as believers are to face really hard times, the fiery trials of life? How do we do that? There's three ideas, basic ideas I want to give to you. The first is simply this, is that suffering is good for the Christian's purity. Now, no person in their right mind likes to suffer, but there are some great benefits from suffering. The purpose for these fiery trials in the believer's life is the very same thing that the furnace does for gold. And what it does, it helps to remove the dross from the gold. And so that is a good thing. Secondly, suffering is also good for the church's fellowship. As we see believers in our fellowship suffering, what do? We need to be very quick to encourage them. As believers, we have responsibilities one to another. We want to help each other going through hard times, going through suffering. Let me give you some thoughts here, starting at verse 7. First thought is simply this. We need to be sober-minded in these last days. Look with me at verse 7, please. He says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Be sober. Be sober. What's that? It's to be sound in mind. It's the idea of having a cool head and a balanced mind, to exercise self-control or moderation in hard times. Notice this also. We need to care for each other in these last times. We have to take care of each other. Look at verse 8. See what he says here. "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins." Have fervent charity in verse 8. Verse 9, he says, "Be hospitable." Literally, be friendly to strangers without grumbling about it. And then in verse 10, he says, "Be diligent to use your spiritual gifts." God's grace is seen in church as believers exercise their spiritual gifts, and it brings glory to God. And folks, the simple point is this, that God gives grace wherever the need is. And then he moves on in verse 11. We need to minister our gifts, even in times of suffering. Look at verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He says, speak as God's messenger. If God has called you to speak, use that gift of speaking in a way that teaches people what God has to say. Remember, you're just the mouthpiece. You're just the messenger. It's not your opinion, it's what God says that we're trying to get across to other people in these last days. But then he goes on and says, if you're to minister to people, then you be God's minister. Use the strength which God gives you to help other people. God is glorified by our faithful stewardship of the gifts that he's given to us. Whatever God's gift is to you, use that gift. Even when there are hard times, even when there's suffering going on, we need to use those gifts. And then there's a third thought for us today here as we look at this chapter. The Christian's purity is affected by suffering. Suffering is also good for the church's fellowship. But then thirdly, suffering is good for Christ's glory. Suffering is good for Christ's glory. Let me give you some thoughts. Do you understand that trials are coming to mature you? The trials in your life are God's tools in His hand that He uses to help mature you. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, what? Happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Peter says to rejoice because you have the privilege of participating in the sufferings of Christ. Rejoice. Folks, there's wonderful benefits to suffering. Now, we don't like to do it, but he brings suffering for very good reasons into our life. Now, could I remind you of this too in verses 15 and 16? There is no shame with suffering for Christ. There is no shame for suffering for him. Look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. In other words, don't suffer as a crook. But he goes on. Yet if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. It is shameful to suffer as a common criminal. There's much shame there. It brings shame on you. It brings shame on your family. There's some shame there. But folks, there's never any shame here to suffer for Christ. Peter's reminding folks, when persecution comes, when people treat you badly, don't retaliate. Don't do things to people that would cause them to have justifiable cause to come and arrest you and take you away and you get to suffer more. He's saying, don't do that. No matter what you have suffered, don't retaliate. Don't end up being punished as a criminal. But to suffer for a Christian brings joy to God, brings glory to Him. The word Christian is only used three times in the Bible. Twice it's used in the book of Acts. Once it's used right here. It's the only times this word is in the Bible. Originally, when the term was used, it was a term of derision. When people hated Christians, they didn't know what to call them. So they started calling them little Christs. You're acting just like Christ, little Christ. And finally, the word morphed into Christian. Yeah, that's what you are. You're just a Christian. By the time Peter's writing, he says, you know what? It's a good thing to be a Christian and to suffer for Christ. It is all right. It's good. Don't worry when you have to suffer for Him. And then notice this. Go on in verse 17 and 18. As we go through trials, we need to endure and learn from our trials. Learn something in every trial that you go through. It's important, folks. Don't just lump along through life, but learn what it is God wants you to learn in hard times. Verse 17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it first began at us. What shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Peter, before this time in the book, back in chapter 1, has referred to the suffering and persecution that refines and tests the believer's faith. But he's ratcheted up. Now he's talking about other persecution, including, I believe, disciplinary judgment on God's children. When a child of God isn't walking with God, God brings things into his life to bring him back into the way again. If God's judgment, his disciplinary trials are on his church now, in this part of time, this shows that judgment on the lost sinner is coming. Folks, by the way, when we preach to sinners, let them know there's plenty of grace right now. But judgment is coming. And that's the point. Judgment is coming. If God's discipline is hard for the righteous now, what's it going to be like for the sinner later? Born-again people, we believers are not exempt from natural consequences of sin. We are not exempt from God bringing us back into line again. Remember, Christian, when God disciplines us, He does it to help us come back to where He would want us to be. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You see, God has chastening for us when we're not doing what we ought to do. It's interesting, the word scarcely back up in verse 18. It doesn't imply doubt to the salvation of Christians, but get this. It emphasizes the greatness of God's effort in saving them. Folks, salvation is all of God, not of us. It's all of Him and what He has done. One last thought as we end out the fourth chapter here is verse 19. Notice what it says. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. The last thought is simply this. In your trials, commit yourself to God. God, I am yours. Believers, when you suffer, we understand it's according to God's will. We're going to endure our trials. How? By faith. Yes, Lord, whatever you want, it's fine. We'll do that. But then we put ourselves into God's hand. We commit ourselves to Him. That word commit means to deliver over to entrust for safekeeping. We give ourselves to God and say, God, we trust you in this trial. And whatever you're trying to teach us, it's okay, Lord. Just help us to learn the lessons you want for us to have. We will do it. Let me share some thoughts with you, if I could, as we close, from Oswald Chambers. He says this, to choose to suffer means that there is something wrong. I mean, nobody would choose to suffer. But get this, to choose God's will, even if it means suffering, is a very different thing. No healthy saint ever chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. Be merciful to God's reputation. It is easy to blacken God's character because God never answers back. He never vindicates himself. Beware of the thought that Jesus needed sympathy in his earthly life. He refused sympathy from others because he knew far too wisely that no one on earth understood what he was going through. Notice God's waste of saints according to the judgment of this world. God plants his saints in some of the most useless places. We say, God intends me to be here because I am so useful. Jesus never estimated his life along the line of the greatest use. God puts his saints where they will glorify him most. And we are no judges at all of where that is. We have no clue why God does what he does, but we know God is sovereign. And we know that he brings suffering into our lives to build us up, to help us become gems for him. You see, folks, when we handle suffering the way God says, we become bearers of God's glory. And we are doing it for His glory, not for ourselves. None of us like to face suffering. Suffering's out there. It isn't a strange thing. It's normal. It's normal. When suffering comes, remember, this is a part of God's plan for your life. Trust Him. Commit your life to Him. Choose to do His will, whether it means suffering or not. We choose His way because His way is always best.
Thank you for listening to today's message with Pastor Joe Henson, our special guest on today's edition of Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.